Happy New Year, everybody. This is the first class I'm teaching of 2023. I'm so happy it's all of you. Yay! So, I know that for some of us, the holidays are wonderful times. I know that for some of us, the holidays are a little bit of stressful times. I know that for some of us, it's a little of column A and a little of column B. Whatever it has been for you, I hope that it was meaningful. And I hope that you had some time for yourself, hopefully some time for rest and relaxation. And I'm just so happy to be with you all today. So I've got some housekeeping pieces, but before we go there, today we are continuing with our module on befriending fear. We'll do before the new year, our training sessions were focused on learning the foundations around fear and human behavior with fear and working with fear. We looked at the steps of the Befriend Your Fear process. And today we'll go even deeper, and I'm going to do a demo of the process, and then we're going to break it down piece by piece. Before we get there, a couple of pieces, trying to remember what are all of my housekeeping pieces. So one is, I just want to remind everyone that starting next week, I think it's next week. Let me take a look at the calendar. Yep. Starting next week, we're going to have a couple of new folks join us in our circle and our community. It is some people who are starting advanced depth. And I'll tell you all about advanced depth later on. Some of you have already started asking. I'll tell you about it in a couple months. There's folks that are starting advanced depth in a little bit, and some of them opted in to also do the second half of Sacred Depths again, to go deeper for more integration, to get to even more of the details. So I'm really excited for them to be with us. I think you're really gonna they're like-minded people. So with lots of wisdom, just like all of you. So I think it's gonna be great. Before the break, we had a bonus call with Kara Jones. Some of you were there. She spoke about marketing and sharing stories and being authentic in our marketing. And Michelle is saying in the chat, I don't usually say again, if you weren't at a bonus call, go listen to the call. But really, it was a wonderful call. I took a lot of notes. I got excited about some pieces for myself. It was also just really inspiring. So that's for you and your member center, along with a worksheet. And I highly recommend listening to it and working through the exercises. The other piece I wanted to mention, I think tomorrow, if I'm remembering correctly, tomorrow you'll get an email in your inboxes. You'll get a couple emails over the next few weeks, but tomorrow is the first one with a little video that I made for you and all Sacred Depthers and Sacred Depths alumni about the Art of Client Transformation, which you all get a free ticket to, that I hope you'll join me for. Even if you've done it before, I recommend coming again. I always teach some same things and new things, and it's an opportunity to just go deeper with everything. And you all have, because you're in Sacred Depths, you also get to invite as many friends as you want for free to it. So you'll be getting some more information on all of that. Okay. As we go into our practicum for today, I'd love to hear first from some of you. And I know many of you are just coming back from vacation. Maybe you haven't thought about fear or befriending fear at all since we last met. It's okay. You can kind of connect in now, or maybe you've been working with it with yourself or noticing or working with it with clients. But I'd love to hear what has really been with you around this topic of befriending fear, either for yourself or for clients. Have you been noodling on anything? Have you been working on it? Maybe befriending your own fear? How has that been going? Have you been totally avoiding it? Who wants to share?
I can share.
Great.
Well, I dove headfirst into fear over this break. I'll just share briefly because it was really impactful and huge for me. I have just a long-term friendship of my best friend from high school who we've just like had a lot of, you know, we have a close relationship, but there's just a lot of unspoken things, which is quite common for friendships. Unfortunately, it's actually something I feel like I might want to address in my therapy practice because it resonates so much and I hear it from so many people. But anyway, I've been playing with this feeling of like really needing to break through something in the friendship. But I was terrified of talking to her basically about it. And I think just this whole process of really talking about being with the fear and going into the fear was really instrumental and helpful in me just doing it, diving in. And I just cannot even say how powerful it was just to be able to go forward despite the fear, to be with the fear, to have the conversation. And it just opened up like a whole world, and not just for our relationship, but for me personally, it just like broke through a thing that needed to be broken through. So it was very helpful personally. Mm. And I have no doubt it will translate professionally as well. Mm-hmm. So.
First, thank you so much for sharing that with us. I could feel as you were sharing, it sounds like it was really powerful for you on a number of levels. I'm guessing it was powerful for your friend as well. Yes. In some ways too.
Very much.
Yeah. And I love how you were willing to be with the fear and to embrace it. It sounds like you normalized it too, you know, like all the pieces, not needing to get rid of it or feel like it can't be there if you're going to move forward, mm-hmm. but kind of regulating around the fact that it can be there and you can move forward. So beautifully done. And I also just want to say, I love that you're wanting to bring this into your practice. And if it resonates for you, I'm making the connection between the loneliness pieces and this being one aspect of it. It feels just like another leg like another layer of the work that you have been putting out there.
Yes, 100%.
Yeah, nicely done.
Thank you.
Who else? What's been resonating for you around fear? What's been on your mind? Or what is something that you remember the most from before break, which might seem like a world ago, that we looked at fear? Like, what's really stuck for you? I'd love to hear from at least one more of you. Who wants to share? Lisa.
I'd like to share that I'm finding it a bit of a slippery fish. A slippery fish. And I'll get to a place that seems like I've gotten there. And then I find myself having somatic things. I'm very tired. I'm very resistant. I'm very wanting to just kill time instead of do stuff. And so I'm having trouble sorting out, well, is this fear, this resistance, or is it just simple exhaustion? Because frankly, 2022 was slamming all the way through. So it's just playing with the nuances, and I just keep holding the question and holding the question. And I think I am getting to some new territory, which is exciting.
Yeah. I love that you're continuing to stick with it and holding it and then getting to that new territory. I'm so happy that you're speaking to it, because it can be slippery sometimes. It's important for us as practitioners to know that. And it can sometimes, we can start working on a fear and we make headway, and then the resistance comes up. You know, the resistance can come up before or during or not, you know, whatever it is. So I'm really glad that you are watching it and are aware, bringing this up. We're going to look a lot at resistance moving forward, but for now, it sounds like you're really doing a lot to support yourself. So, you know, what I'm hearing is, number one, you're actually treating the resistance in the same ways that you're treating the fear, which is, yes, holding space for it with compassion and being curious and being with it, which is exactly what you want to be doing. And then the other thing that I'm hearing that I think is really important is also distinguishing, or setting the intention to distinguish between resistance and, no, this is actually, I need a break right now. And sometimes it's hard to know which is which, and sometimes it's a little bit of both. But I think and tell me if I'm getting this right, Lisa, I think what I'm hearing from you is, like, because you're being intentional and conscious about it, it's not that you're just letting the resistance slip and not addressing it. You're giving yourself what you need and holding space as well.
Yeah.
Thank you. Good. I feel like I saw another hand up there. Sarah.
Yeah. Well, definitely piggybacking Lisa, what she said, and also Fen Chen, about really experiencing a lot of fear, kind of more in my personal life, but then because I'm a parent coach and I spent Hanukkah and Christmas with my daughter, it was kind of tough. But I remembered the don't bat it away, like getting past, you know, how you were sort of saying a lot of how we've been coached in the past is to let it go. This time I did the experiencing it part. I could not remember kind of like instructions for feeling better, which maybe I don't even know if we had them. Like, I'd have to go back and review my notes, but somebody in class one time mentioned Tara Brock, I guess. So I went to her, a recent thing that she did on cultivating hope, mm-hmm, kind of as an antidote. And just the one phrase I would share that actually kind of saved me was, she goes through all these steps, which I can't remember, 3 A's, all that kind of mnemonic device stuff. It was, and then when in doubt, begin again with love. And yes. Oh my God, that helped me so much. I just sort of suffered and then applied it to myself and my daughter, and we're back on course. So I just wanted to share that.
So beautiful. Thank you for sharing that. Yeah. And yet that love piece, I love that Tara Brach writes about it. It's part of the befriend your fear process as well. It's part of the resistance archetype process as well. When we get to it, is like, step one is hold love and compassion for yourself, for the fear, for the situation. that is the foundational energetic piece that any of the skills or the things that like we do as practitioners are built upon. That's the foundational difference between stamping out fear or destroying fear or vanquishing fear and befriending it. It's that love and compassion piece. So yeah.
If at any point you have advice about not wallowing in it, I'm open. Because in the fear, like, oh my God, I'm such a bad parent. How did I not show up at the Airbnb on a work day, you know, with a meal planned and do what I said, I, you know, all that kind of. So yeah, it's almost like there seems like there's this 3 to 5 second choice moment where you could go one way or another.
Yes.
And I don't know. I'm just open. No.
I'm glad you're asking. And so this is great because the way that we approach fear in the Befriend Your Fear process is really how we can approach any part of ourselves. So we could call like that wallowing, we could call your wallower, or you might call it someone else, like the judge, you know, the self-criticizer, whatever resonates for you or for a client, right? Step one is to hold space for it with love and understanding and compassion. Now, when you hold space for any part of yourself, whether it's fear or your wallower or your critic, whatever it is, your judge, when you hold space for any part of yourself with love and compassion, another thing happens in that process. We learned about this before the break. We start to unmeld from that part. We come into our higher self and then we see it as a piece of us, but not all of us. Mm-hmm. And that's another thing that helps Sarah not like keep on going into the wallowing and only being the wallowing and all of that, is that in that process of holding space for it, loving it, having compassion and curiosity about it, we're actually creating a little bit of a loving separation and perspective from it. It gives us space and it brings us into the here and now where we have more resources to move forward. Whereas the wallower is really like from the there and then. Does that land?
It does. And it's also such a reminder what you're saying that I should probably have a practice. I mean, I have a morning practice, but I don't seek support from someone else. And I think that's the message, I think, is making it a practice, just like I'm trying to do with my clients.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cause it's not easy. No, it's like I can do it for other people.
What we can do so masterfully for others is harder to do for ourselves.
Yeah.
That is a truth.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Thank you. All right. Well, I think this is great jumping off point to go into our practicum. Let me just turn a light on here. I need a volunteer, someone who's got something going on right now that you have a sense is probably related to fear. If you'd like some coaching, now is a good time to raise your hand. And I'm just going to pick who I sense would be most helpful in terms of learning for all of us. Jennifer, I'm going to go with you.
I had a feeling you were going to say that.
Thank you everyone who volunteered, and thank you, Jennifer. Mm-hmm. You feeling ready?
Yeah, sure.
Good. tell us what's going on and what you'd like support on.
So I guess for the last year, I've really been working on my pattern of self-sabotage. And so I know there's a lot of fear around it, and I've just
Like I make excuses, I procrastinate. Like I can be really busy with busy work, but I'm not like putting it out there to get more clients or to really, so there's something in the way where I feel blocked. I really do. I feel like I'm blocking myself. And I know there's the fear of being seen and being criticized. And those are the ones that always come up for me.
Okay. Yeah. It sounds like you're pretty clear.
That yeah.
Good. Yeah. Good. And it might be that it's more than one fear. You know, you mentioned two.
Yeah.
If there's one will lead to the next. So it's not like we have to get it right. Ding, ding, ding kind of thing. Right. But if there's one that feels more important or pressing today, what would it be?
I think it's, a fear of being criticized. I'm really good at like, oh, I need another certification or, you know, like, oh, I have my master's degree. I need to get another degree to prove myself. And it's not true, but it's like, I can't stop. It's like, I have to prove it. And yeah, it's just this underlying fear of being criticized as if I don't know enough or I'm not good enough.
Yeah. Yeah, it sounds like that fear of being criticized. Tell me if I'm getting it right. Like that's really what's causing the procrastination, mm-hmm. and the self-sabotage, and the not putting yourself out there in the ways mm-hmm. that you know you want to.
Yeah. Yes.
Is it okay for us to go deeper with this?
Yeah, absolutely. I would love to.
Okay, wonderful. Is it okay to close your eyes?
Yeah.
Okay, great. So yeah, let's take a moment and be with yourself. Yeah, come into yourself in your body. Take your time. Start to notice where you're holding this fear of being criticized in your body today.
Definitely in my chest.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you put your hand there immediately. mm-hmm. Yeah, good. So I want to invite you, Jennifer, to just hold space for that fear of being criticized that's in your chest. To hold space for it as if you were holding space for and with a client. And to just be with that fear with compassion and kindness, curiosity, and love. Are you a visual person? Are you able to?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
If you were to go in there kind of with a magnifying glass and a flashlight, what does that fear of being criticized look like in your chest?
It looks really constricted. I'm seeing the same girl that I saw the last visualization we did when I was in a ball kind of curled up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And you said constricted.
Constricted. Yeah.
Yeah. Good. Good. You're doing really well. Just be with her. Take the space and the time to be with that constricted, curled up girl. And really, as you're with her and holding space with her and for her, take her in. Notice what she looks like. Notice her energy. What do you notice about her?
There's a lot of fear in her eyes, like a timidness. Mm-hmm. She seems fragile.
Yeah. Yeah. Good. Just continue to be with her and connect with her. Do you know how old she is?
Oh, I would say somewhere in her teens.
Does she look like you in your teens or?
Yeah, her hair's a little darker.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, good. Okay, great. You're doing really well. So just continue to be with her. This fear of being criticized, this 17-year-old girl. And ask her what event or series of events brought her into being, brought this fear into being. Yeah. What's she saying?
It was a bad relationship that I had in high school. And I was a really big personality, and I gave everything for him. I gave up drama and cheerleading and debate, and just became a shell of myself. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I don't think I've ever really, recovered fully from that. Like, I always dim my light because I was too much.
Yeah. He was critical.
Very.
Yeah. You're doing really well. I want to invite you to just really love this 17-year-old. Really, really love her. Hold the space for her with compassion and love. Really hold the space for her. And ask her, and ask the fear, what is it that they want you to know?
I think they want me to know that the fear is okay and it's normal, just kind of everything that we've talked about, and that if I can just kind of keep stepping into it instead of resisting it, that I will move through it. And it's always going to be part of the process.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Let that land. Let that truth land. You feel that?
Yeah. Feels good.
Jennifer, what do you want your 17-year-old self to know that she doesn't know or needs to be reminded of, maybe that no one told her back then, but that you know now about what she went through?
That it really had nothing to do with me and everything to do with him and his insecurities. And then I wasn't too much, and I wasn't, unworthy. And so I don't have to allow those to keep me stuck in this place of self-sabotage and feeling like I'm not enough.
Yeah. Let her take that in. Like, really let her take that in, that it wasn't about her, that it was about him, that she was never too much. Can she feel that a little bit?
Yeah.
How does that feel for her?
It feels really good. It feels, I can feel her kind of softening up, like she's not as constricted.
Yeah, good. Let her have that and let yourself have that. Feel that softening.
Yeah.
Let her feel that in her 17-year-old body. You feel that in your chest, that softening. Yeah. Just continue to watch and watch your chest and watch the fear as you allow the both of you to have that softening.
Yeah, the constriction is like it's leaving. It doesn't feel as tight.
Good. Yeah, you take your time with that. Let yourself really feel that. And then ask. I feel like we're talking a little bit to the fear, a little bit to your 17-year-old. So whatever makes the most sense.
Okay.
Ask what they need to know from you in order to move forward with being visible. What do they need to know from you so that you can move forward?
What's coming up is like we're like linking arms and kind of walking together, like we're not separate. And as long as we do this together, we can really move through and step into it and not allow that self-sabotage to come up, like see it for what it is, acknowledge it, and like, okay, here it is again, but this time we're moving through it. And so we can do that by really linking arms together. Instead of being separate.
I love that. Beautiful. Yeah. Do you want to link arms with her? See what that feels
yeah.
like?
Yeah, I could see myself doing it. Yeah.
Yeah. So really be good. In your body as you link up arms.
Yeah. And notice. Yeah, there's like a sense of peace.
Yeah. Where do you feel that sense of peace?
I feel that in my chest too. And also like my throat is opening. And so it's like this power and strength that's coming up as we are together and not separate.
Beautiful. Yeah. So lean more into that energy.
Yeah. Feel
peace and then that power that is rising up.
Yeah. That felt good.
Yeah, good.
Yeah.
Ask the fear if there's anything else that it wants you to know right now.
So I'm hearing like I'm always going to pop up. Like it's, I'm always here.
Yeah.
But as long as we can do it together, we can go through. So like you said, if befriend your fear, it's not going to go away, but I can be its friend. And so it's that linking of arms and taking it in and not letting it stop me in my tracks.
I love that. It's like making sure it's not setting you up for failure.
Yeah.
You know? It's like, yes, I will come up and that's okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Can you feel that truth in your body?
Yeah. It feels really good. Like I feel so much lighter in my chest. That's really good.
Ask it when you're taking action or about to take action and it comes up. Ask it what it wants you to remember about yourself in those moments.
So lately the words that have been coming to me is like divine assignment. Like I have a divine assignment on this earth and I really need to anchor myself into that. So when the fear comes up, it's like, remember, I have a purpose here. And that, you know, there are women in the world who need me. And that if I stop, I'm not going to be able to fulfill my purpose and help the women that I'm here to help.
Yeah. Yeah. You can be in your divine purpose and it can feel scary at the same time.
Scary. Yes. Yeah.
Good. All right. Take one more moment with all of it. Really thank the fear for bringing forward itself and its wisdom. And then when you're ready, you can open your eyes.
Thank you.
So nicely done. So okay, we're going to go a little longer. Our session isn't over just yet.
Okay.
So first, let me ask you, there was so much that came through that work. What are some things that are feeling really important? What are you taking from that process?
I think what's feeling important is that connection with that little girl and the fear. It's, like we're a whole, we're not separate. And so when it rises, I need to really like anchor myself into them instead of resisting and like stepping away from them. And so that's the biggest thing. Cause I'm really good at like, nope, resistance. I'm really good at it. Yeah.
You've got your PhD in resistance. It really, I'm glad that you're pulling this piece because I heard that too, of like when you can link hands, there's that feeling of peace and power that comes. And you may have to, in the beginning, like keep on linking hands and keep on linking, but like the power and peace comes up for a second and then it's back into the more of the fear, right? And so that might be a practice, but it does feel like that is a way through the resistance.
Yeah, it does feel like that. Like that's what's going to help me just move through it for sure.
There is a piece that also struck me that we didn't like get into all the crags of, but this thing of being too much. It's so interesting, like not enough, too much, different sides of the same coin. And tell me if I'm getting this right. It feels like reminding yourself, like you did in the process that we just did, that you're not too much.
Yeah.
That you're just the exact right amount feels important too.
It is very important. I struggle with that a lot.
What is a way that you can do that and come back to that?
I don't know. I think it's that reminder, like, you know, it's like with anything, not everybody's going to like you, and I might be too much for people, but for some people I'm just the right thing. And so it's just keeping that in my head, like, it, you know, you can't please everybody.
Yes. I think that's so true. So I love this, like keeping it in your head. And if it resonates, I would recommend doing a couple of short journaling sessions.
Okay.
With just that prompt of wisdom you just shared. Like I might be too much for some people and that's okay because I'm just the right amount for the right people, and just do free form writing on that a couple of times to just continue to bake that in, you know, integrate.
Yeah, that feels good. For sure.
Great. So from this place of just all that came through and that some of that new energy that came through, what do you feel inspired to do over this next week? What are some
abilities? I think it's like putting myself out there as, you know, I've been leading groups and stuff, but I really want to get into one-on-one coaching again. And so really putting it out there in my newsletter and on social media and just like letting it out and stop being afraid to do that. So I will do that.
I love it. I love it. Can we go a little bit longer? I want to press you a little bit more.
Sure.
Okay, so I love this. Yes. To putting it out there.
Yeah.
And I'm a fan. Tell me you may not want to do this. So tell me, like, I'm a fan of maybe like coming up with a couple of chunk size things to actually do, because or else it's like your computer tomorrow morning and be like, okay, I said I'm gonna put myself out
where there. Am I going?
What am I doing? Right. Yeah. So what, like if there were a couple of specific doable with a stretch things this week, what would they be?
So I think it would be in my newsletter and really kind of sharing the story, how even though I do what I do, I have fear and this is what comes up, and like talking about my self-sabotage and all of that. So it's, you know, so people can kind of get to know me on that personal level a little bit more. I'm not afraid of video or anything like that. So I can do that. I have a private Facebook group of women I can do that in, but also on Instagram. Yeah. So I'm more than happy to put myself out there and really share like about fear and how I still encounter it. Cause I just had a client the other day and, you know, we were talking about this and how the shoulds get in the way, like, no, we shouldn't be doing this. You should be. And so that fear comes up of stepping into really what your desires. And it's there for a lot of women. Yeah.
I love it. Good. So it sounds like you're going to make a video and you're going to leverage it in a couple different places, your Facebook group, Instagram, and then you can send to your newsletter group as well. Yeah. And then I would recommend at the, in the end of the video or end of the newsletter, whatever it is, to also like clearly state, this is exactly the type of thing that I help my private clients with.
Okay.
I have a couple of spots open now that we're in the new year. I'd love to connect if you want to talk more about it, right? And just that direct invitation for people to get.
Okay. Yeah, that feels good.
Good.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you. So what are you taking from our session today?
I'm taking away, you know, I'm really in control of what my life looks like and what I do. And if I don't like befriend this fear, I'm going to find myself in the same spot that I'm always in. It's like just a little bit of success and then I self-sabotage. And that's not the vision that I have for my life. And so it's really like, linking arms with fear and linking arms with my younger self and like, okay, let's do this together as a whole.
I love that. Yeah. It's like, it's piece by piece. It's doing it and doing it again and then linking it again, but it feels like you're ready and up for that.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
So good. Thank you.
All right. So Jennifer, you can put your practitioner hat on now.
Okay.
Along with everybody. And I should have mentioned before we did the model coaching, but I'm guessing everybody did. You know, I usually take notes and notice, you know, so that we can pull some things. So hopefully you've all been doing that. So what did, from practitioner point of view, who wants to share? What did you notice? What did you learn? What do you have questions on? What might you have done differently? Because there's more than one way always, which is part of what I love about all of this. Julie.
Thanks. Jennifer, thank you. That was really beautiful to witness. And honestly, like so much of what you shared, what you spoke to about your specific flavor of fear is like very much what I'm experiencing myself. And I really loved how you, at the end, you know, your sort of first takeaway was the acknowledgement of your wholeness and integration with all of those parts of you, the fear and the 17-year-old you, and just how beautifully you integrated the process and what it showed you and how you're going to move forward with that higher knowing. And my question, Joanna, is like, I just always love observing the way that you facilitate these processes. And I know that in my own experience, I've gotten much more comfortable with kind of connecting with my little girl and relating to her and trying to learn from her what it is I'm being asked to know, to take myself to the next level of my growth and healing. But when I observe you doing this this process, I noticed myself feeling like aware that when I try to work with somebody on a somatic level in this way, I am not as you know, it sounds as though I'm comparing, but I'm really asking from a place of like wanting to learn about how to effectively like really hold all of those different parts as the practitioner. Do you know what I mean? Like you just did such a nice job of like staying really clear about supporting Jennifer in being with and learning from the individual parts that were coming forward. Do you know what I mean? Is my question clear?
I think so. I think your question is actually what I'm asking everybody is, like, let's pull all the different pieces that we observed to, like, bring it together. So I'm going to turn the question back on you, Julie, if it's okay. You don't have to come up with all the pieces, but I want to ask you one piece, like, what's one flourish or thing that I did that you noticed supported all of that?
Well, I especially loved how you several times throughout the process kept saying, you know, you're doing really well.
Yeah.
Loved that.
Yeah.
Because that showed me that the importance of, like, remembering that as the practitioner, we do really need to stay grounded in the present, in our practitioner seat. And I'm aware that when, like, that's why I started out saying with myself, I feel like I'm pretty skilled at supporting myself in this way by connecting with a part of myself internally. But as a practitioner, I'm aware that I maybe tend to just be so present and so engaged with the person before me and what's coming forward that I don't feel as proficient as I might be with, you know, maintaining that separation so that I can effectively hold all the parts.
Okay, now I think you're getting to, like, some more of the crags of your question. This is great. So first of all, I want to underscore the piece that you said. Yes, it was very intentional. The couple times that I said you're doing a really great job. Mm-hmm. And the kind of one of the reasons behind that is because humans just never feel like they're doing a good job. Or I'm not really doing it right, or someone else, another client would be doing it better, or I'm not good at somatic work, or I don't know how to connect, right? So you use the word validation, Julie, and that's exactly what that is, validation and support. Like, yes, like you're doing this exactly right. You know, not that there's only one right way to do it. Yeah. You're doing really well. You're in the process. Keep on going. So that's a piece that I want all of us to be conscious of, you know, when we are leading clients through somatic processes. And I love how that you noticing that, Julie, kind of brought you to your awareness of, like, sometimes that separation between you and your client, like, you're kind of totally in it. I totally see the logic of that, because if you're saying, like, you're doing really well, it is an observer that can say you're doing really well, right? So that might be one thing that can really help you with this piece of not, like, getting sucked in to it. And then tell me if this makes sense for you. This makes sense for me. Tell me if it makes sense. So for me, when I am leading a client through a somatic process, a big piece of it is about how I am in my body. So for me, being grounded in myself, being grounded in my seat, feeling my feet on the ground, being in my body. And then I don't think I do this consciously anymore, but almost like imagining that I am holding, I'm like in the space, but I'm holding the space. The combination of those two things helps me be there fully present with the client while also maintaining that grounding so I don't, like, get sucked in. Yeah. Does that make sense?
It does. Like, as you're speaking, I'm totally hearing and understanding
like I understood it already on an intellectual level, but as you're explaining it, I'm kind of like integrating it in an embodied way where I'm understanding that what we're talking about and what I was saying feels challenging for me is that remembering and finding that balance of like, yes, like you're saying, staying grounded in my body, present with and for the client, while also honoring that my role is to maintain the container. And so therefore I can't do that when I'm getting sucked in.
Yes. Yeah. So like knowing that, and for me, you know, we're all different, but for me viscerally, it's almost this feeling of the front of me is wide open and with the client, but almost like my back, and as if my arms were extended, are almost like more of a wall, like a strong wall holding. So it's like more solid for me personally. It energetically feels more solid on my back and more open in my front. But I know just something to play around with your body, I guess.
I love that language that you're using because it makes me think about Brené Brown's, you know, sort of phrase that I feel like she started sharing maybe during the pandemic around strong back, or how does she say it? Strong spine, soft heart.
Oh, I love that. Yes. So I love that. So yes, you can apply that. If that resonates, apply that to these processes. Yeah. And play and see what feels right for you. Good. Thank you. Caroline.
So when you were saying that about holding the container, I actually have an image of it's from The Incredibles. Violet is one of the daughters, and she has this force field that she puts up. And I actually look at that before I get on the call with my clients. And like, that's, I'm holding that field. And so anyway, I like the humor of that. But beautifully, that was so beautiful. And thank you, Jennifer, for sharing. I guess just from an observation, it just felt like you were just so curious and just kind of leading the conversation where it went. And I loved how you kind of stepped back and said, well, I don't know if it's the fear or the young girl or the whatever, whoever we're talking to at this point. And it was all, so it just felt so natural. And that's what you do so beautifully. So. I don't know if that's an observation or whatever, but
yeah, it is. And I'm going to like pull on it some more. Yeah, so I'm hearing a couple, thank you. I'm hearing a couple things in what you're saying. Mm-hmm. So one is that curiosity, right? Like that, the being present, number one, and then the not being attached to an outcome, right? Like, is it the fear? Is it the 17-year-old? It has to look a certain way. The moment we get into it has to look a certain way is the moment we're no longer present or curious or can meet the needs of the moment and the client. So yeah, that curiosity piece and the not being attached to outcome in order to be curious, or that it's going to go anyway, or that we're going to get anything out of it. Like I always approach as like, this is an experiment. I know it's going to be meaningful in one way or another, but I can't feel like we're gonna get X, Y, or Z. Mm-hmm. And then that moment where I said the, like, is it the 17-year-old or the fear? That was very intentional because I think the 17-year-old holds the fear. You know, and sometimes fear will show up if someone can visualize as a wrench or an object or a younger part of themselves, whatever it is. And you just want to go with what it is. And also if you're not sure, in whether it's whatever you're doing in the session, just say it, right? It's it helps with everything. It can help with clarity. And what that takes, as we've looked at before, is not needing to know everything or be right.
And that's how I kind of took it, is like, it's not a script. It's like, there is some magic here, and that's okay.
Yeah.
Just let it come through.
Absolutely. Yes. I'm so glad you're saying that. There isn't a script. Like what I want for all of you to have the building blocks to know how to work with the pieces and then have that confidence to know that whatever comes up in the moment, okay, we're going to go with, you know, befriending the younger one versus the fear, or both at the same time, or, you know, like whatever it is, we're just, mm-hmm. we're going to go there because we have the skills and the energetics for it. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Thank you.
Anina.
Yes, thank you both. Yeah, there are a couple of pieces that came to me. And one thing that I really loved was the encouragement to stay present. And I don't know if you intentionally kind of felt like it was going too much into the head, but at least for me, I notice often that I tend to, in those situations, there is still this some sort of desire to let go of the fear, or to go to the lighter space and somehow to maybe to go into this past story, and then kind of, oh, no, I found a reason, and okay, I'm letting go, and then kind of going into somewhere else rather than staying with the actual sensation in the body. So I love that you kind of brought it back.
Yeah, I'm glad that you're pulling on that. I think there's a couple pieces in that. So number one, not looking for a quick fix that it's gonna like flip in a second, because that's just surface work, which is why also at the end, I mean, Jennifer said it herself, but if she hadn't, I would have said, it's gonna come up and you're gonna, right? Like you're gonna have to keep on working on it. And then another piece that goes with that is, like you're saying, like continuing to come back to the body and then allowing for space, right? So even when we started, I can't remember the exact words, but I said something like, take the space that you need here, you know, like take your time, be with it. And this continuing to come back to this spaciousness, it helps, it's doing a couple of things. All the things that you're saying, Anina. And then also, if you all remember back to when we started looking at the topic of fear, we're part one level of what this process is doing is calming the nervous system, even with the fear present. So having space, having the time, slowing down, being kind, like all of those things, as we're in the presence of the fear, it creates regulation so that we can move forward with it. Good, thank you.
Can I still ask something?
Yeah, else? Absolutely, yes.
Yeah, so there's like something that I would have personally done a bit differently, which is when she was kind of, the tears started coming and she went really into the emotional body, and you encouraged her to kind of hold loving space for that. And maybe I just, like, the thing that came to my mind was actually she said afterwards, like saying like, oh, it's normal, it's completely fine. And I would have maybe encouraged to kind of maybe feel it all, but then I'm just curious, is that too much going into the there and then rather than being in the present?
Yeah.
And another question maybe related to this, because I'm also working a lot with trauma and like I have another training with breath and touch and working with trauma in that sense. So I'm curious, like, What is your point of view of, like, can I, as a coach, still combine that with this other kind of field that I have? Or is it always that coaches and trauma don't go together, or like,
So first of all, it's not that coaching and trauma don't go together. It's just knowing our scope with it. Because trauma is like, we looked at trauma's all, we're all walking around with trauma. It is, right? Like, it is unavoidable in this day and age. It shows up as overworking. It shows up as procrastinating, right? Like, so it's not that the two don't go together, but it's knowing the scope. So you said a lot of really great things. So first of all, absolutely, another way to go would have been to hold a little longer in the emotion. And I think it would have been fine for you to do that. So absolutely, that could have been done. That being said, what I want you and everybody to be aware of is exactly what you said after that, right? Let me stop because there are a couple things I want to say about this. Number one, if we keep with the emotion that from a there and then, and we see that the client is collapsing into the emotion, that's where we want to stop there. We don't want to get it right. We don't want it to be a collapsing. So if it's to feel it in order to move through it in our scope, but when it gets into like a approaching, like they can't stop that, that's, you know, where we've gone too much into the there and then for our scope as coaches. So while in this case, for sure, you could feel energetically, like Jennifer was grounded. She was really in the here and now. The emotion was coming up from there, but she was, so yes, she could have hung out in that longer. But we want to be kind of looking for the signs, and also I hate to say this because this is not what I'm about to say, I think is true and not true. But just go with me, like with the level of trauma, right? So if it were maybe a different situation that came up, I might be like, no, we're not, don't hang out in that, or, you know, be with that. The other thing we want to watch for as coaches is anytime, see if you all notice this, anytime I asked Jennifer to either feel it in her body or feel it, well, anytime I asked Jennifer to let the 17-year-old feel it in her body was a new energy, like a feeling of peace or a feeling of knowing. It's not in our scope as coaches to ask someone, what did it feel like in your 17-year-old body to feel the trauma? We don't want to do that. You had one more question. Yeah, I think it's great to combine modalities so long as you know what your scope is and what the guardrails are for you. Did that answer everything?
Yes, thank you.
Thank you. Great questions. Doris.
Hi. What a beautiful session. I just love the dialogue with the fear. Asking what he wants to communicate, but also when Jennifer told the fear what she would like for her to know. So that was so, I feel like that's such an important piece because our fears are usually the parts that are so neglected and we are so disconnected from. That's why it's so important. And I really felt like that was an integration. You know, and she even mentioned, we are not separate, we are one. And that was this beautiful, at the end, this beautiful partnership with the fear as an ally, not as fear, but as an ally. And another thing that I noticed is Jennifer connecting with her higher purpose, which is bigger than herself, which is really the motivation to really move forward. So I thought that was so beautiful. And for me, I struggle with visibility too. And that was so incredibly, it spoke so much to me. So thank you so much for all that.
Yeah, beautiful pieces. And I want to pull on the one about inviting the client to share what you mentioned, like to share what is it that the 17-year-old, what does she want the 17-year-old to know that maybe the 17-year-old doesn't know. So that is it does a couple of things. So primarily that is a tool to support the client even more to resource from what they have in the here and now. Because that question is actually asking the client to tap into their adult self for wisdom and knowledge and resource, right? So by the sharing it with the 17-year-old, that act of tapping into that wisdom and the sharing it is resourcing from the here and now. So that's, to me, that's one of the biggest pieces that question does. And then I believe, you know, if you believe in energy, I do believe energetically that part of ourselves is then not only receiving the words and the wisdom, but the knowing that they are protected, that something has their back. And that knowing, you know, for those parts of ourselves that are scared, it can be so valuable. Thank you. Heather.
Yes. One of the things that I picked up while Jennifer was talking was about how in that 17-year-old self, she felt like, you know, she had this big personality, but then at the same time, not enough. So I picked up on that double bind. Because, you know, if you step towards the not enough, it's adding to too big of a personality. If you step towards too big of a personality, it's adding to the not enough. So that's just a no-win situation.
Yes.
But again, you know, as you did with tapping into the resources from the here and now, like at 17, you don't have that life experience to understand that double bind, but as a mature adult, we understand. So having the resources from the here and now to work through that double bind.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. And you know, like we kind of said in the session, we could have in the process, like another pathway would have been to, you know, hone in more on the too much piece and kind of do some uncovering there. For whatever reason, chose not to go there, but that would have been a worthy pathway to go down. But I did, so this is something I just want to point out as a tool for everyone. That was something that felt important to me, which is why after the process, when Jennifer and I were just talking, I brought it into the awareness then, and we spoke about it and kind of came up with a little bit of homework on it. So we can kind of touch on pieces that we didn't get in the full process and do a little, you know, create some awareness on it afterwards and then give some homework assignments on that too. Good. Sarah.
Yeah, just a question about working with couples. I don't know if that's something that you do, but what are your recommendations there? Some, you know, either couples who are more receptive or when one partner, you wonder, because I notice that you're asking permission, you know, for people to close eyes. And how do you deal with that?
So I just want to make sure I understand the question. Are you talking about like to do this process if you're working with?
Yeah. Couples? Would you if a couple, suppose in the family system, there's a lot of fear, say that the child's going to return home to the home community. And there maybe the fear is, you know, they're going to return to substance abuse, and it lands differently for each parent. Got Would it. You recommend that they have separate sessions?
So, right. So I think always coach the what based on the who, and it's going to depend on the couple. And you might not know that answer. You might ask them and have a conversation, but I think for some couples, it's going to be more valuable to have that privacy to do it separately and then come back together and then have each one share so that they can kind of in the process be as open and whatever, and then they can filter through their shares and the conversation together, you know, what they learned, what they're seeing, and then you can kind of facilitate that and see how the kind of two fears relate or work together or work against each other, whatever it is, but it'll be a special couple that can do it together, but
okay, thank
usually
you.
It's you're gonna want to do a separate and okay, then together.
Thank you.
Yeah, good question. Who else? What are some other pieces that you want to pull on? What did you notice? What did you have questions on? What would you have done differently? Who wants to share? What else was feeling important from what you observed? Jennifer.
Well, I guess I really noticed one of the first things that you taught us, and it was the energetics. Jennifer is my partner. We do the coaching. And I wish I could be as masterful as you when we're practicing, but knowing Jennifer the way that I know her, I could definitely notice that your energetics really helped her energetics. I felt like the pacing, every time you said, and you already mentioned this, every time you said, take your time with it. I could just really notice a level playing field too. I could just see how much Jennifer opened up, and it was beautiful to watch. So that was the main thing that I noticed throughout the whole thing was how, I mean, you were like leaning in, even though her eyes were closed. It was just, you could just feel that support. And I don't know how you do that virtually, but you were doing that. And I could tell it just made such a difference. So that's what I noticed.
Yeah, I'm so glad you're pulling on that. I want to break it down a little bit. So there are a couple of energetics pieces that you mentioned that are really important. So first of all, I wasn't just telling the client to take their time. I truly believed that we had the exact right amount of time that we needed, that we didn't need to rush through anything, that exactly where we were going to get to and the time we had was going to be what was needed. So that's one thing about my energetics is that I was trusting time and trusting how things were unfolding in the container, and I wasn't rushed at all. So that's huge, right? Because the moment we start worrying about the clock, it's going to feel off, even if we're saying all the right things, right? It's going to feel off or rushed or like we're not fully there with it. In terms of equal playing field, you mentioned, yes, like I approach this kind of process as I approach any session or interaction with a client, which is that I don't know any more than they do. They know more than me about themselves for sure. I don't have any of the answers, but I have so much trust and respect for the human being in front of me. And I know that together we're going to get them what they need. So complete equal playing field there. And then in terms of the virtual thing, I mean, I'll just say, like, for me, and I'd love to hear other people's thoughts on it, but for me, I guess two things. Number one, I just approach it as if we are in the room together. And number two, it has to do with my heart, I think. Like, my heart is always so wide open to the person that I'm speaking to. I mean, not always in my everyday life, unfortunately, but when I'm with clients or students, my heart is so wide open. Like I have so much love for them that at least in my mind, it doesn't feel virtual. It's like that barrier disappears and I feel fully present with the person. Thank you. Good. Michelle is asking in the chat, do you think Jennifer's ability to relax into the process had something to do with the trust and relationship you've developed as well, the foundation of energetics that have been nurtured? Yes, I'm so glad you're bringing that into the conversation, Michelle. Absolutely. I mean, I've been able to, you know, somebody new or coming into a workshop for them to settle in and relax. I don't think that we need a long-standing relationship with a client for that to happen, so long as we have built the container at the beginning of the workshop, at the beginning of that session, bringing the energetics, et cetera. But that being said, having a little bit of a proven history of trust, like I am trustworthy, I'm holding this space, definitely helps for sure. Good. Who else? What else do you want to pull on? Anina.
Yes, I have another question. Something that kind of I started thinking, because I have the exact same fear, and I noticed that for me, there is a lot of judgment towards that part that thinks what others are thinking of me. And then there is a lot of kind of maybe need for forgiveness. And I'm wondering, like, forgiveness wasn't kind of covered in this, but of course there is this like giving the space and the love already kind of like, I'm wondering, is that already in itself enough, or is there space in this process to bring awareness, for example, about forgiveness, for example?
Yeah, it's such a good question. So, you know, I always answer with a couple pieces. So first of all, the giving of the prompts, you know, hold space, compassion, like all the things you said with love, with curiosity, all of that really helps. Now, side note, just for everybody to know, every now and again, that can trigger someone a little bit because they don't want to love, like you're saying, they don't want to love that part of themselves. They don't like that part of themselves. And to say, like, hold it with love and, you know, compassion and kindness, that you can see, like, you, as you watch them, you'll see, like, they stiffen up and they'll be like, I don't want to, right? When that happens, then the next question is, well, what's the part of you that doesn't want to do that? And first you want to befriend that part and then the fear. But back to your question, a beautiful question that you can ask in this process, or just as like a regular in conversation coaching question that I sometimes like to ask if it's the right context and moment, is who or what part of yourself is ready to be forgiven? Who or what part of yourself is ready to be forgiven? And then that just the question alone might be enough, or you can lead the client through a process of feeling into that forgiveness, and then also being in that part of themselves that's ready to be forgiven and feel the forgiveness being sent. That makes sense?
Good. Oh, yes.
Good. Another piece that I want to pull out for everyone is the work that Jennifer and I did after the somatic process. So we didn't end the session at the end of the somatic piece. And this is really important. So we did a couple of things afterwards. What did we do? Who wants to share? What did you notice? What did we do? Kelsey.
Hi, everyone. I'm going to keep my camera off because I'm COVIDing at the moment. I really loved how, and I think sometimes I notice this in my sessions with some clients as well, is like, there's almost like a high that they're riding after the somatic process. And it's like, I'm going to go get them and I'm going to do the thing. And I really appreciated how you strategized a little bit more and pulled it back and was like, okay, you know, what are the small chunks that you can take on? And I think there was a moment there where maybe I heard a part of myself come online and wanted to like check back in with that part. Like after those chunks were decided upon, like, okay, how does the 17-year-old feel about these chunks, or the fear feel about these next steps? Because I find that quite often in my process, I'll kind of gung-ho and I'll decide on those next steps where I feel like maybe I need to have like another conversation.
Yes, I love that. That's so beautiful. Yes, absolutely. It could have been so powerful to then check back in with the 17-year-old on that. I love that. And I'm so happy you're pulling this piece out about like, yeah, there is this high and it's great. It's this opening and it's this wonderful inspiration. And we want our clients to move on that. Like that's an opening, like to move on. By helping them chunk it down or like get clear, this is what I'm going to do. And even sometimes like, and this is when I'm going to do it, can be really helpful because that opening and that high can then sometimes like close a little, but if we have an action that happens, then it can maybe stay open a bit longer, right? So chunking it down, getting clear about the actions. Good. Caroline.
So, I mean, similar to that is, what did she feel inspired to do this week and what specifically? And I loved how you said, you know, doable with a stretch, I think is how you said it. Capitalizing on that, on kind of the upswell and what are we going to do about it?
Yes. Yeah. We want to strategize. We don't want to just leave it with the inner work. We want to like, this is one, you know, in coaching, we do want the client to walk away with an action step or more that is doable with a stretch based on the new awarenesses that they have, whether it's a somatic process or not, whatever awareness and energy and inspiration that was created in the session. Now let's take action on it.
Yeah.
Good. I want to point out a couple other things that we did after the somatic process. The very first thing is I asked her what was feeling important from that process. What were some of the most important pieces? Integration, right? So in starting before we even got to the strategy, integrating on a cognitive level, what are some of the pieces that felt important? And I added a piece or two in, you know, I spoke about the being too much piece, right? So I validated, and then I added a couple of pieces that I wanted to make sure she integrated, or I wanted to create awareness on after, like from that process. As Anina and Caroline have said, the outer act, or not Caroline, sorry, Kelsey and Caroline have said the outer actions, the strategizing. The other thing that we did is we spoke a little bit about persistence and consistency on the inner level and how to take the inner work that we opened up, right? I gave Jennifer a writing assignment. She spoke about coming back to the linking arms when the fear comes up. So we're looking for what are the outer actions that are inspired, and then what is at least one inner action that can be taken more than once to continue to pave all of the neural and energetic pathways of the process that was done, to continue to befriend, right? Befriending isn't a one-time process, it's an ongoing process. Jennifer, I want to give you one of the last words. Is there anything that you want to add from a practitioner point of view, being the client, but anything that you want to add about your experience?
I think your pace is just so amazing. Like, it really made me so comfortable to be able to be in my body and really feel everything that was coming up for me. There was no rushing. And that was really important to me because there was a lot of emotion coming up. And so just to be able to feel that and feel that I was in a safe space to experience those things, and that I didn't have to like rush through them or stuff them down. So that was really important. So that pacing, I think, is just really important for and holding that space for our clients. And then also, like you said, after the somatic, it was like you grounded me again because I was like super excited, like, oh, I just had this great breakthrough. Now I'm ready to take on the world. And you were like, nope, let's come down a minute. And so that really helped me just kind of ground back in and chunk it down to those smaller pieces that are more doable than like, I'm going to conquer the world. It's like, okay, this week, let's do this. So that was really how I'm
going to conquer the world.
Yes. Yes. One chunk at a time. So that was important. But that whole pace was just, sorry, the dogs are barking, was just really beautiful for me because I feel like sometimes I rush, like I want to fit so much in with a client and I don't have to. Like, we have that space for them to really have that level of comfort and open up. So yeah, that was important to me. So thank you.
You're so welcome. And yeah, and I want to point out to Jennifer and to all of us, I think that took 30 sessions, not 30 seconds, 30 minutes, right? Like, that didn't even take my regular client sessions are 45 minutes, right? Like, we could have done even, but it's like, we weren't rushed and yet so much.
Yeah, that was really powerful.
Thank you. All right. I want to ask everyone, what is one of the most important things that you are taking away from our time today? What's a big takeaway for you, inner or outer? Lisa F is saying, take your time and don't rush. Lisa A is saying spaciousness. Kelsey is also saying trusting in time, no need to rush. Jennifer's saying that we can link arms with our fear. I love that image. Yes. Fear is part of the process. Yeah. Follow your intuition as a leader. Good. Going slow is the name of the game. Yeah. Yeah. The dialoguing piece and the integration. Good. Well, thank you for making my first class in 2023 so awesome and enjoyable. I appreciate all of you. I'm so glad to be back. And I'll see y'all next week. Bye.
Thank you.